Romans chapter 12. What a great chapter, what a great book. You want to learn just the Christian life, it's the practicality of this passage is amazing. Let's read, if you will. I want to begin in verses 9 and 10. We're going to focus on verses 11, 12, and 13. But I want us to connect the dots. I want us to see the momentum. Before we even get into 9 and 10, I do want to remind you this how this chapter started, right? Paul was begging these believers at Rome that they would, by the mercies of God, they would focus on the mercies of God, and they would present their bodies, this is verse 1, present their bodies a living sacrifice. It is that we would just offer up our bodies. It's not a metaphor there. That's literally our lives, our energy, our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is just reasonable. It's our reasonable service. And then be not conformed to this world. Don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It hasn't been a day since I've preached this. I'm seeking to be transformed. I don't want to be the same. Transformed by the renewing of my mind. It all starts in your mind. And I believe as we move into these rapid instructions of life, I believe it'll be as a result that when we truly submit ourselves, our bodies as a living sacrifice, when we're not conformed to this world, when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, we will see these. And these are the checkpoints. You tell me that you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind? Well, let's just look at verses 9 through the end of 12 and then into 13. Thanks for putting doubt in my mind, Ron. I'm just kidding. Ron's like, I didn't see the Gatling gun approach. It's there. I'm gonna pound it when I get to 13. I'm just kidding. But it's so I want you to see this, right? It's these are just reality checks for us. Let's begin in verse 9. Everything begins with love. And I know that sounds like such a cliche, right? The world would say, yes, it does. We need to understand true biblical love, but the Bible's also stating that. We can do everything else right, but if we don't have love, it's for naught. It's critical. It's one of the most sobering statements in the Word of God. I can be a doer without love, and it's for naught. Because God's after our heart. He's not after my action. God doesn't need me. He wants me. He delights in me. But my action doesn't... The fact that he would use my action is his mercy and grace. He wants my heart. And if my heart is not motivated by love for him and love for the brethren or love for my neighbor, then he says, it doesn't honor him. Amazing statement. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says this, let love be without dissimulation. Not fake, not, you know, just, what's a flattery? You know, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Verse 11 continues that sentence. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. The title of the message tonight is How to Approach Responsibility. I was just trying to figure out what would a title be for this. And when it says not slothful in business, and I was initially going to say something about your work, but then I think that's too narrow. Too narrow. When we think of work, we usually think of outside of the home. And I want you to understand this just from my perspective. When I talk about work, I'm not talking about income-driven activity. I'm just talking about work. You follow me? But I think responsibility might be a better word for us to understand this. As we grow, as we mature, we will take on additional responsibility. And how should we handle that? I think there's some great instruction here for us. And the first thing it says is not slothful in business. If you want to know just the first thought, it's don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Right? Listen, turn to Proverbs, because I'm going to just take you through a little overview of Proverbs with such great instruction for us on laziness. Now, remember this. This is not intended. So if you're a worker, if you're a doer, be a doer, be a worker humbly. Don't look down on somebody else that may struggle with that. Right? We have to be who we are, and all of these may not be a struggle for you, but don't look down on others that may struggle with that, right? But here's the key. God doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to be, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and we'll get to that in just a second. Proverbs chapter 6, let's just go through some passages, just some really good overview of God's wisdom in Proverbs about just doing it. I'm just telling this. This is important. Apparently nobody found somebody that knew the answer today. How many of you even asked today? You losers. You forgot the question. I'm not telling you. No, I'm just saying, you asked this, why did Jesus have to be born of a virgin? You just asked somebody. And if they had the right answer, I'll give you $50. Expires at midnight. So then I said, what was the second one? It was $10. It wasn't as profound.
What does Jesus name?
Oh, is that all it was? Man, that was easy. So yeah, ask somebody, what is Jesus? What's that? Yeah, and that expires tomorrow night at midnight, so I'll give you a little bit of extension on that, so it's only $10. You know what's funny? I'm actually encouraged that none of you did that, because I know that you guys would have felt like, huh. Because, you know, next Sunday I was going to just tell you to witness, and I was going to come back and say, how many of you witnessed? None. You know, so a ton of hands go up for the $50. So I'm glad you're not motivated about, you know, people are more motivated about money than about Jesus. If they'll fire you at work for being late, you won't be late. You'll show more honor, more submission to somebody that writes your check than you do the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You'll get more worked up about work. I'm so glad. It's a blessing. I don't get worked up. I get worked about other things, but I love what I do. We've got a church that I feel loved. I'm enjoying it. I remember I used to get worked up. It's just a job. That's so easy for me to say now, right? And because you're like, well, what happens if I get fired? Well, God knows about it. You know, and don't be worthy of being fired, but maybe you get fired. He said he'll take care of you. He's either a liar or he's God. And I know, a lot easier said than done. But it's, you know, we'll work overtime. We'll work late. But it's tough. I came to church this morning. I'm glowing already, preacher. You know, you're so good. You're such a great preacher. I don't need it once a week. I've heard that. I'm like, man, I know I'm not that great. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 says this. Go to the ant. Proverbs 6, 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. We ought to, you know, go to the cicada, maybe. Verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, that would be anarchy in a human perspective. Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Sleep is attached to laziness. You need rest. But I want to tell you this. Serve the Lord. If that means you don't sleep, serve the Lord. A little less sleep is okay. I'm not worried. God will help you. He'll bless you. But don't prioritize sleep over the Lord. Look at Proverbs 10:26. We're just going to plow through here. Some laziness verses. Don't be lazy. As vinegar to the teeth. How many of you ever put vinegar to your teeth? I didn't do a great, you know, I'm like, somebody try it. Althea, we just look. Because apparently it's horrible. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. I had a bunch of smoke to my eyes as I was grilling out last night. So vinegar to the teeth. Do I have a volunteer to do vinegar to the teeth? All right, do some vinegar to the teeth, vinegar to the teeth, vinegar to the teeth. All right. Let me know. You guys will come back Wednesday. Oh, my tooth fell out. I don't know. So maybe Google it before you do it. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to them that send him. You want to be a person that when you work, they know you'll work. Don't be the person that's like, you know, just my eyes will burn. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13, 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs 18:9. Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Being slothful, being lazy, is wasting the energy, the talents that God has given you. There's a time for rest. I'm not suggesting that, but I think we probably overdo it. Then look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man. It's interesting, my wife, she sleeps less than I do. Proverbs 31, a 31 woman, if you ever see that, when did she sleep? It said by night, you know, she worked. And so look at Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26 verse 13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it out again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You see the problem, but, you know, there's a lion in the street. You turn over. You do nothing about it. God says this, Romans chapter 12. Let's turn back there, Romans chapter 12, that we ought to let love reign and not be slothful in business. Christians ought to be known to be the best workers. I will tell you, Christians ought to be known to be the most trustworthy. And I'm encouraging with this. Don't let your employers rule your life. Let the Lord rule your life. You know, just don't let them do that. But don't be slothful. We shouldn't be slothful about the Lord's work. We need to be zealous. We need to work hard. And remember this, never be filled with pride. That's never a place to be filled with. It's wrong. We ought to be thankful. You understand this. We of all people ought to understand why we're here. It's to serve and honor the Lord. With what? My time, talents, treasure, my energy, my life. When I'm lazy, I'm consuming it upon myself, and I'm not doing what the Lord... I'm going to die one day. Yesterday, man, I'll tell you what. I was busy getting ready for the young adults to come over. I had a bunch of stuff to do. Then I added a few things. And I literally went... I was doubled over. And then I played volleyball after that. That's why I was not as razor sharp. And there was a time yesterday I was like, whoa. You know, I was like, we doing okay there? We're doing okay. And but you know what I thought? I thought of this. What a great way to die. I want to die serving the Lord. I don't believe I can overdo it. Let me tell you, if a doctor... Now, I'm not telling you, this is old Steve Hall. Okay, Steve Hall. I'm looking forward to go home. So I'm not telling you what to do. I just know this. If a doctor tells me I have to slow down, I'll say, why? So that you live? I'll tell him, I'll say, I don't know if you know what living is. Living's living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll try to take this into account, but if you're telling me I have to do less for the Lord, I'm not in. I'll tell him, I'll say, well, how do we figure this out? How can I work as much as I want and make you happy? Right? Try to get a win-win. I mean, you know, I'm not worried about it. I'm just telling you this. What's the worst thing that happened to us? There's not a worst thing that happened to us. Is there? Don't be slothful in business. Let's be energetic. Let's be excited about the Lord. Don't be slothful in business. Look at this. Fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. The best verse I have is, listen to Colossians 3:23. You're going to see an overlay of Colossians with this. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Remember this. Your responsibilities, Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Don't be slothful. If you got to do it well. If you got to do it, don't be lazy. Hey, kids. I mean, you know, let's just take the Tillery girls here. Are your parents, when they tell you to do something, they're going to say, no, just kidding, you don't have to do it. Have they ever done that? Take note. Since they've never done that, I doubt they're going to do that. So if you got to do it, get it done, right? Attack it with a good spirit. We're going to get some eye contact here. There we go. So, you know, if I have to get way down here, you know, we're going to, you know, I'm just telling you, I'm going to get eye contact. Houston, we have arrived. And so I want you to know this. Be excited about it. Because you know one of the ways you'll honor your parents is by doing what they ask you to do with enthusiasm. And because you know what? They're your boss right now, right? And then you can dream about all the wonders of having your own house and everything break in and on your own, and you have to pay for everything, right? So it's just exciting. And so the best way you can honor the Lord, thank you for the eye contact, because you didn't want me to have to get super low, right? I appreciate that. That's good. I'll do it next time too. So you're really, it's good, right? But I want you to know, don't be lazy, because they see it, plus the Lord sees it, and do it with excitement, right? If you just remember that, you'll be better off and you'll get it done faster. I think you've learned that some with school, right? You know, I know you guys, sometimes 4 in the morning, 4 a.m., bam, 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 you'll get them to your school, and then you're like, 7 a.m., what am I going to do? You got the rest of the day, right? Do things, you'll get more done, and you can learn more about the Lord, and you'll never regret it. I've never regretted not being lazy. How many of you have sat in front of the TV for however many hours, and then after you're done, you're like, oh, I feel terrible. I just wasted the entire evening and didn't accomplish it. How many of you have ever done that? Yeah, we all have, right? I'm not saying that watching the TV is always wrong, but I'll tell you what. You know what it is? It's like a vacuum cleaner. And you'll watch it for hours and it'll just suck your life away. Right? And I mean, it was just like when I grew up with Batman. Right? It'd be like, oh, here's the good part. Tomorrow. I'm like, what in the world? Tomorrow? I don't think they ever did any full episode. It was like, you know, 21 minutes of commercials, 9 minutes of, we're going to get you here tomorrow. I would run home to see Batman. If you've seen the Batman I watch, it's like lame. Right? And so but it sucks us in, right? You know, just be excited. Aren't you glad you can work? Be excited that we get to serve the Lord, right? So I'm just talking, these are all of our responsibilities. Look at this. The third thing is, we've seen this. We've seen this in Ephesians, we've seen this in Colossians, as we've looked at the overview. He says, serving the Lord. Always remember who we are serving. Listen to this in Ephesians 6. You'll recognize it from Colossians as well. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So ladies, just the same thing I'm talking about. You know what? When you, and I'm just telling you this, it is unbelievable. I mean, I go, and I mean, I'll just brag on you too. Now don't, if it destroys you, I'm going to ask permission to, anyway. You know what I love is they will get my dishes and take them to the kitchen. You know, sometimes I'm like, I'm not done. No, you always do a great job. You know, I do usually come with a big Diet Mountain Dew, but if I had water, they would fill my water up. It's awesome. You're being taught, we're going to see at the end, you're being taught to do some things that honor the Lord. Delight in that. It's wonderful. Everything we do, when we do it right, we do it as unto the Lord, and it pleases Him. Be happy with responsibility. Don't bemoan responsibility. Count it as a gift from the Lord that He gives you responsibility. You know, do you understand this? Do you know what the reward is when you obey and honor the Lord? What's the reward? Don't know. Well, guess what our message is next week? No. You get more. You get more. When you honor the Lord, He says, I'm going to give to those that have. I'm going to take away to those that have not. If you are struggling to enjoy your responsibility, then you're probably not going to get more. Because you probably won't be fervent about it. You'll probably lean toward laziness. But the reward of the Lord, you know this, that happens in the real world, doesn't it? You are the worker. And then imagine this. You're like, these guys are duds. And you feel like you're getting punished because they give you more responsibility, right? And they have really neat words. Job enlargement. Job enrichment. I said, let me tell you, I like that one word called rich. You know, so you pay me, I'll do more. Now, okay, maybe I had an attitude. That's, you won't find that in Romans. But it says this. That's the reward. If we understand that, then we won't bemoan being with more responsibility in the Lord's work, right? Don't be lazy. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Look at number four. Rejoicing in hope. I just was writing down, and then we're going to see. I'm going to put these next two down. Rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Because not everything's going to go well. We're in a broken world, right? So, you know, we got these little platitudes. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. You know, serving the Lord, right? And it's like, it's at times, if you just focused on those, then the Bible comes back with reality. Rejoicing in hope. Because, you know, sometimes all you have is hope. Amen. And so you need to rejoice in it. So I just was writing down some things. And so this week, if we had a Sunday school class, we could ask this. What is hope? How about that we will live eternally with Jesus? Hey. Just focus on that. You know what? Wow, this is good. I know one day I'm going to be with Jesus forever. That's encouraging. That he's preparing a place for us. This is all from John chapter 14. Right? If he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also. You believe in God, believe also in me, right? And he says, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. Sometimes all you have is the hope of the future. Dream a little bit. Read Revelation. See what he's going to prepare and be excited about that. That's okay. What about this? Jesus is coming again. On my worst day, he's coming again. He's coming again. He says that he wants us to focus on him coming again. I will tell you this. If we focus on him coming again and we rejoice in hope, I think that'll cause us to be less lazy, right? I think that'll cause us to be more fervent. I think that'll cause us to make sure that everything we do, I'm serving the Lord, right? And so I want you to know this. It's not usually, but, you know, there's times... as a spouse, and there's times as a parent, the only motivation that you're going to have is that it honors Christ. Because sometimes you're like, man, these kids are a pain in the neck. No? How many of you said, my kids were never a pain in the neck? Those that didn't have children. We can all have children again, spiritual children, and what you're going to find out about those spiritual children? Pain in the neck. Sometimes. Not always. It's a joy. It's a joy. What about this? God is still saving people. Aren't you glad about that? I love to get around people and I love to hear about this. I'll say, well, how's the Lord doing? You know, I had a preacher friend that texted the other day and he said seven souls were saved and followed the Lord in baptism. I was excited about that. My first response was, dear Lord, can we have eight? No. I want to see people saved. But I rejoice when I hear about him being saved, don't you? And so just think about that, right? Just think about this. I was just pondering the other night just who God saved, right? Isn't that exciting just to think about who's been saved, some of your children? I was just going through a list and just rejoicing over that. You know this, you think I was in a bad mood or a better mood after I was focused on that? Better mood, rejoicing in hope. The hope of the future is always in Christ, but it's in the next generation. Let's train up that next generation, right? Let's be a great example. Let's be fervent in spirit. What about this? God's word will not go out void. I'm encouraged. There's great hope in that. I leave that up to the Lord, how he'll deal with all that. But I'm always encouraged. So rejoicing in hope. Just before you get so discouraged about life, focus on the hope. Can you think of any scriptures that say, focus on the negative? What it says is, it's be patient in tribulation. Didn't say to dwell on it. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have curveballs in your life. You're going to have the rug pulled out from under you. You're going to have things that you don't want. Don't dwell on it. Rejoice in hope. But patient in tribulation. Look at Romans 5. Just go back. Just a few chapters. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. Don't hold me to that, how often I say that. I need to get some favorite portions in Leviticus. I've never said that about Leviticus so far. Got an attitude. Be patient in tribulation. Look at this, Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful, is it not? We've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says this in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now look at verse 3. And not only do we rejoice in hope, but we glory in tribulations. I'm glad it didn't end there. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It is interesting. It says be patient in tribulation. It's kind of circular. If you're not patient in tribulation, you will be. And so it says this. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. Now this is the result of hope. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When it tells us in Romans 12 to rejoice in hope, it's because the outcome is this. We will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will proclaim him. I will tell you, these are hints. You should have these triggers in your mind. These triggers in your mind that say, why am I not witnessing? Maybe it's because you're not focused on hope. When hope is spread abroad in your hearts, you will not be ashamed. When the Bible talks about not being ashamed, that means you will declare the truth, the love of Christ, what Christ Jesus did. You don't have to do it the way I do it. Try to give you some different thoughts. You don't have to be me. I'm not preaching my personality. I need to say that a million times. You be who you are, and it's God that does the work, but you need to do the proclaiming. Don't be ashamed when we clam up and shut up. We haven't been focusing on the hope. I tell people all the time, I'll say, on my worst day, I'm going to heaven. On my worst day, Jesus loves me. On my worst day, I know why I'm here. Those are all things that people do not have confidence in. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. And tribulation brings patience. It's a circular thing. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Be patient in tribulation. Again, this is how to approach responsibility. Can you understand this? If you allow what this is don't be lazy. Be fervent in spirit. Always remember who we're serving. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation so that you are going to continue to be responsible, right? And then what he says is this. We've seen this. We've seen this in Colossians. He says this. He says, continuing instant in prayer. And so be in constant prayer. What did we learn in Colossians chapter 4? Watch and pray. Be alert. I'm not quite ready. I'm doing better. I'm doing more better, Muneeb. And I'm going to get some scotch tape and put this up soon. So then I'm going to peel it one day and stick it on Stephen's car. I ought to be able to drive with this. I thought about this the other day. It was excellent driving. It really was. But the person behind me didn't appreciate it. And so I thought, you know what? You know, I need to drive such that everyone will appreciate it. And that doesn't mean like I'm going to drive like a grandma. Grandmas, I'm sorry if I offended you. I can't drive like a grandma. I can only drive like a grandpa. You wait till you see this grandpa, man. I'm going to have like turbo charged. But I ought to drive to where nobody would be. I don't want to drive too slow. Where they'd be like, yeah, that person loves Jesus or getting in the way. You know what I do? You know, this is my personality. It happened the other day, and I realized it. It was, we kind of got up to a four-way stop real quick. And so I beat you. You know, that's terrible. Grow up. I did get there first. They didn't seem to understand that. I go, 0.25 seconds. I need some help. But when I do get in the car, watch and pray. Whatever your struggles are, watch and pray. Be constant in prayer. You want to be a responsible person for the Lord? You need to be in constant prayer. The minute you get detached and forget about our eternal responsibility, you're going to falter. You can walk out of this building You can have been, you have been, could be delighted in the refreshment, being with God's people, singing, preaching, being refreshed. And in 2 minutes, if you don't watch and pray, you can bite your spouse's head off. You can yell at the kids. You can whatever. That's in us because there's not one good thing in our flesh. Let's be responsible. Constant in prayer. I want to show you this, the purpose. Here's what the purpose is. All of this. You're responsible for the blessings, and then here's what I believe. It's distributing to the necessity of the saints. It is, we need to love people. We need to be just focused on people. When you're responsible, God will bless you. Would you agree with that? The Bible would teach that, right? You're responsible, God will bless you. So then what are you supposed to do with God's blessings? Give them away. Give your life away. Give your time away. Give your talents away. Give your treasure away. Don't hoard them. The Bible says this, distributing to the necessity of saints. I do love the priority. It's this. Just so you know, I always think about this, the order that I should love, right? I love reaching lost people. So here's kind of, but I will tell you, I think this would be the order of Scripture. And I struggle. If you ask me, I'd rather have dinner with a lost person or a saved person. I love to eat, so I'll just eat two dinners. But here's what God says. You are more important, I think I can say this, than a lost person. You should be my focus. How can I help you? How can I help you? Distribute to the necessity of the saints. Let me just tell you, if we get all this balance, I don't think the lost are going to be neglected, right? But I want to tell you, God takes high priority for his children, for his sheep. It says distributing to the necessity of the saints. Maybe my statement wasn't necessary to say. I try to get that down. I try to look at my life. Who am I spending time with? How am I spending that time? I want to have a balance. I want to have enough time. I want to be focused on the lost. I want to make sure I'm feeding the sheep. Me and a good friend, we've been talking about that. What's the most important responsibility of a pastor? I do believe it's feeding the sheep. But I believe it's the pastor needs to lead the evangelistic zeal of the church. And the church responsibility is to go to all the world. But I think I have a big part in leading that. I want to see you involved in that. I want to see you doing that. But the Bible says that distribute to the necessity of the saints. And then finally, it's given to hospitality. Ladies, what you do when I come over to your house, you're being hospitable. Now, here's what that word means. It means literally to love strangers. To love strangers. It means to be a pursuer of people. A pursuer of people. So I will tell you this. One of the outcomes, and I do love hearing this, I love hearing the fellowship, but there needs to be a balance. How many lost people are you being hospitable to? How many saved people are you being hospitable to? And understand this, that's going to honor God. It is, we need to not be lazy, fervent in spirit, always remembering that we're serving the Lord, right? So when God blesses, we have something to distribute. Some of you, and I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, I've just served the Lord long enough, and I've heard this said before, not from anybody in our church. They'll say this, I wish I had that so I could help those people. Why don't you lean forward and help people? Why don't you do something for others when you have all kinds of needs? I've seen it. God will bless you. Do you trust him? Be hospitable. You know, I'm not sure what we did with our yard. It looks a disaster, right? I mean, it's like it's a mud pit. I just had to look back today and just said, oh, well, if it grows, it grows. If not, I'll turn it into sand volleyball. See my neighbor say then, I just can't stand the cats, right? I'd be like, and just kidding, Katie. And so I forgot about that. No cat jokes. No animal jokes. I'm pro-animal. And so, but be hospitable when you invite people over. Here's what we said today. I was going to get the carpet cleaned recently, and Deb goes, good thing we didn't get the carpet cleaned yet. So you know, we're never cleaning it. That's the way to deal with it. And you know what? Mud on the carpet. No grass. You know? We need to just say this. What am I here for? I'm here to honor the Lord. And how do I do that? Helping people. You're the priority. Love it. Distribute to the necessity of the saints. Be hospitable. That'll honor the Lord, right? It'll be good. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. That's why there's a calendar. Schedule people to come over. If I've told you I'm going to schedule some time with you and I haven't, get on me. Probably forgotten. So help me. Help me with that, right? I tell people, hey, we're going to have you over. 3 years later, I haven't. But it's no excuse. Be hospitable. Distribute to the saints. How to handle responsibility? This is a great passage. Romans 12, 11 through 13. Don't be lazy. Fervent spirit. Always remember it's to the Lord. Rejoice in hope. When you are discouraged, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Constant in prayer. Give. I'm not talking about that offering box. You know this, if God wanted us to have a big sum of money, we'd have a big sum of money. And it's probably not from you. Just heard something, I'll finish with this. So when I say give, it's not that offering box. I was talking to a guy the other day, works at Bearing Precious Seed. No, he doesn't work. He goes to First Baptist Milford. And he said First Baptist Milford had this great opportunity. It was $1 million printing press that was going to be dramatically improved over any printing press that they had. Bearing Precious Seed prints Bibles from the Textus Receptus, from the Masoretic Text, in hundreds, maybe, I don't know if it's hundreds, but dozens and dozens of languages across the world. From the right text. Amen. So, $1 million printing press. They were going to get it for $180,000. So they called the pastor. Hello, pastor, do I have an opportunity for you? And the pastor was kind, said, thank you so much, but we don't have $180,000. And we are comfortable that that's not the Lord. 2 days later, got a call. It was a guy that says, I don't know you, but I want to give $180,000 to your church so you can buy that printing press. And it'll be cheaper, faster, and better. Will you allow me to do that? Pastor had a heart attack. He's in the hospital right now. But that's the Lord. You understand that? I want to tell you this. Give your life away. Give your money away. Give your time away. You'll never regret it. It's all worth it all. It's worth it all for Christ. Don't be lazy. Be fervent spirit. Let's pray.